The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to a special edition of the Two Man Game Podcast. It's the Three Man Game Podcast today, I think. We've got assistant coaches in studio taking over for Coach Smiley. Maybe not full-time, just for the week. We've got Dorian Green and Houston Reed. I've had both of these guys on the whole show. Great to catch up with you. I've known you for several years now, and first time getting you in the podcast studio. Coach, let you out of the gym for once. He let you out of the office, man.
Yeah. Coach, kind of decided last second that he was going to take a little fishing trip. So,
And you didn't get the invite? You didn't get the fishing trip invite?
No. I think it was a solo trip for Coach. I think he's sick of us, man. So, he called the bullpen today.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you guys both on the show. Different perspectives, of course, with one goal for this Bears team. A lot of new faces for you guys. We were chatting a little bit off air about, just different guys moving on. Brock Wisney, that's an interesting story going on. But certainly a lot of new faces. And based on Coach Smiley's conversation with us the last couple of weeks, things are progressing, pretty well, at least through the summer months, Houston.
Yeah, I mean, we got the guys off campus, and so we got our full 8 weeks in, and it's just such a learning curve, not only for the players but for the coaches, kind of to see what we've kind of put together and what the guys look like, and just kind of see what they've been, how much that they can absorb and learn, and how quick they can mesh and build chemistry, and so there's good days, there's bad days, and all the days are good because we're making some kind of progress. We're just learning about each other, and so we had a good summer, and it's kind of good to take a step back and just breathe a little bit right now before we reset and get rolling for the fall.
Yeah, it's almost the second to last day of July. We're getting close to that August month, and we know football will be rolling. The Bears will be under the lights at Nottingham Field for the first time. It's taken a long time to get lights over there, but you know what? You got them now, so that should be a lot of fun. Guys, I want to talk a little bit about your backgrounds, of course, too. Dorian Green, obviously followed your career at CSU. College basketball's changed a little bit since you played. Yeah, it's not like different. It was that long ago, but there's a million changes that have happened in this sport since you played.
Yeah, I mean, I would say even, too, just since our time here at UNC, going into year eight for me, it's just drastically different, and every year seems like there's a new wrinkle here or there. We were talking about that a little bit before, but yeah, I mean, it's night and day, and some of the stuff was starting to kind of sneak into college, right? So I was on the very cusp of some transferring, but a lot of that was grad transfers where guys didn't have to sit out, right? So, or when you did have to transfer, you had to sit out a year in redshirt. So some of that stuff was starting to pick up a little bit as I was kind of leaving college, but obviously it's nowhere like it is today, and some things were moving there, but progress was a little bit slow at the time, and now it's just kind of you just kind of let the cat out of the bag, and now every year there's something different and something new, so it's just about adjusting to it and kind of staying flexible and being able to just adapt to the new environment of college sports.
Yeah, for me, in the summer months with all these college changes, it's great because it gives me something to talk about, because I can only talk about the Rockies for so long. But for you guys, it's constantly trying to adjust to the new rules, what you can do, when you can do it. Coach Houston Reed, you coached in the high school ranks in my neck of the woods.
That's right.
You actually coached against my team once.
That's
you didn't
right.
remember me on that team, but you remembered a couple other players. I was a heck of a defensive player.
Well, when I found out you were from the plains of Cheyenne Wells, I had to really get back into my memory.
You're like, who is that guy?
I think the story is... I was coaching high school at the very first game that the gym opened in Cheyenne Wells.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the ribbon cutting ceremony, and I also remember winning. So
well, I was on the bench that game, Coach. I wasn't out there for that crazy defense and two and a half points per game.
My journey's been a unique one, right? And so I decided to get into high school coaching when I finished playing, and wanted a little bit more of the family component. And then after coaching high school, you know, I had an opportunity to go to Otero where I played and my wife played, and then was able to kind of, you know, have a good career coaching there. And then from there was able to coach some Division II basketball as a head coach for 4 years. And now going into year seven here at UNC. And so, I've had a chance to kind of touch all different levels. I've coached four different levels and seen a lot of different, situations, scenarios, been to a lot of places all the way from, you know, Cheyenne, Colorado, to the places that we've gone to at the UNC. And so they always say the game is taking you to a lot of places, and the game is taking me to a lot of places, including places like McCook, Nebraska, and Colby, Kansas, and just some random places. And so I'm just really grateful for the journey I've had up to this point. And I'm just really grateful, to be honest with you, and a lot of gratitude that I'm on the staff here at UNC.
So this is your eighth year, Dorian, right? And this is your seventh year coach.
Correct.
So you guys were both, of course, on staff with Jeff Linder.
I was not.
No,
I was.
You were. That was. That would have been what your
my
first year.
Was Coach Linder's last year.
Yeah.
And so was able to be on staff with Coach Smiley at the time.
Yeah, and this is what we talked about off the air. Like, pretty much once Smiley took over as head coach, and then you guys elevate as a higher up assistant coaches, it's been nothing but change. I remember the COVID year, Coach and I just got to know Coach a little bit, and we were doing those basketball and banter things, but through Zoom because we couldn't talk to each other or couldn't touch each other, whatever. It was weird.
Yeah.
And I just remember that was a crazy time. And just everything you guys were dealing with. And since that point, it's been, man, you better hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, Reed, you remember we were doing like workouts where it was like one player, one ball, one coach with masks. Like it was.
Yeah, I remember kind of getting barked at a little bit because we weren't actually supposed to like touch a ball.
Yeah.
So the ball would come and like you're like kind of, you know, elbow the basketball, or and then there was something going on where, my memory might not serve me correctly, but they were asking us to put on like rubber gloves. I'm like, listen, I've done a lot of things, but I've already got a mask on. Now I got to have rubber gloves. Now I can't touch the basketball. It was odd. It was different.
I remember you guys obviously probably watched the NBA in the bubble when they were in the bubble, right? And it was like they were all playing against each other. They're sweating all over each other. But then as soon as the game was done, they had like the distance order intact. I'm like, they were playing against each other for the last 2 hours here, and now they can't. You know, they have to distance as soon as that game's over. It was a wild time, but you guys found a way to adjust, man. And there's been a lot of success with this program the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I think so. I think some of that, too, is we've been learning on the fly, too, right? And so, I think the one thing, there's been a ton of change, but we've had a ton of staff continuity. And
yeah.
So there's been some consistency on the day-to-day for us that I think has been, obviously really beneficial just in how we operate and some of the stuff we've been able to do and just the camaraderie. And so I think that's really been probably something that we lean on a lot is just the consistency with how we operate day to day with being for Coach, you know, playing 7 years now, working for him. And so I think that, you know, through all the change and stuff for us, it's like how we kind of go from day to day is normal. It's just there's different stuff we have to do now.
Yeah, and I want to ask you too a little bit about how rare it is, because you guys, especially you two, you've been around a while now. And Coach Smiley, obviously, you know, he does talk very highly of you guys on this podcast quite a bit. There's a lot of great conversations about his coaching staff. Now, Dorian, how did you, because I love hearing all the connections, like how you got to know, how you came to be here. So obviously you had that connection with Jeff Linder.
Yeah, so there was a few crossing paths with Coach Linder. So first one was when he was on staff at Boise State when I was playing at Colorado State. So we had a little bit of that, you know, Boise came into the league, I think my last 2 years at Colorado State. So we had a little bit of that. I was working for Coach Miles. I went back and got my GA there, or got my master's and just doing my GA at Nebraska for Coach Miles. And so my plan was, you know, ideally and hopefully kind of to stay with him and more of like a player development, recruiting, coordinating type role. And that's kind of where I, you know, thought I was kind of settling in on in coaching. And then he got let go that year. So I kind of was just out and just kind of stuck. I didn't have a job. Was finishing up my master's in May. So, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Knew I wanted to stay, you know, around basketball. And I got a call from one of my assistants, Ross Hodge. And he trying to think where Ross was. I think he was at North Texas at the time. I can't really remember. Yeah, he was at North Texas because we played him at Nebraska. And so he had said, hey, I got a good friend named Jeff Linder. He's at Northern Colorado. He's a really good coach. The assistant, Vinny McGee, had left and taken the San Francisco job. And he's like, he's got a spot open on staff. It'd be a chance for you to kind of get back out in Colorado because he knew, obviously he's one of my assistants at Colorado State. So just how much, I love being out here. And he's like, hey, man, he's a really good coach. He's got a great staff. He's got great people. It'd be a really good environment for a young coach to kind of learn under and kind of figure some stuff out. And so he's like, hey, he's going to call you. And like literally 20 minutes later, he called me and then I went and got lunch with him at the Final Four. I was there for like 2 days and met up with him. And I drove out here and got stuck in a snowstorm. And and was just fortunate
Welcome back,
enough.
Right?
Yeah, it was just fortunate enough to kind of land in an opportunity that, I really wanted to take and just kind of got lucky, to be honest.
Now, when Coach Linder left, obviously he went, he's not there anymore, but he went to Wyoming next. What was that like? Was that like, hey, I want you to come with? Because that's usually how it goes. The coach leaves and they want their assistants to go with them, but you obviously stayed here with Coach Smiley.
Yeah, there was, well, first off, like, it's kind of hard for me to put on, the brown and yellow.
Yeah, it might be a difficult journey for you.
Yeah, that wasn't
You might have a hard time with your friends over at Fort Collins.
So that wasn't something personally I was super or too interested in but at the time, Coach Miles had been sitting out a year, so I didn't know if he was getting back involved and maybe having a chance to work for him again. So I really just kind of things were up in the air. And then Coach Smiley just was like, hey, I'd love to keep you. And I didn't know if I had even a spot with Coach Linder there. He kept some of the previous staff. So I honestly was just kind of trying to figure things out. And then, when Coach Smiley was like, hey, I'd love to keep you here. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Cause, I had come back to Colorado and I'd only been here for like 11 months, and Coach, obviously the season gets, canceled. Coach ends up taking a new job. And so I was extremely excited just to be back out here. And wasn't really wanting to leave. And I think at the time in my coaching career, it was a situation where I needed to be at. I really felt strongly about that just in terms of like my growth and as a younger coach. So at that point when Coach offered, it was just a no-brainer to stay.
No, I'm glad it worked out for you, man. And Coach Reed, talk to us a little bit about your story. Obviously, when you started, then Coach Smiley, he became the coach. So obviously there's a connection with you two well before he became the head coach at UNC.
Yeah, Coach Smiley and I, played together at Northern State, and that's where our connection started, playing for Coach Meyer. And Coach Smiley and Coach Wicks and the three of us were just kind of really, really close as teammates and buddies and friends or whatever you want to call it. And I was a little bit older. I came in as a junior college transfer, and so – I started the high school journey, and then I was coaching junior college, and then Steve had gotten the job at Sheridan, and so we spent several years actually competing against each other in the same league, and then obviously he got on with Randy Ray, and then eventually got the job at Northern Colorado, and it's just kind of fortuitous. I mean, ever since we were kind of young and in our 20s, and before we were coaching, it was we ran camps together, and we always talked about the opportunity maybe to work together and coach together. And so when he got the job here and he put the phone call into me when I was at Chatham State, it was a no-brainer for me to not only reconnect with Steve and have a chance to work with him, but also a chance to move my family back to Colorado. My wife and I both are born and raised in Colorado, Colorado natives, and we consider the state of Colorado our home. And so to be able to come back and to get on staff with Steve was a blessing. And then for me, I think the greatest experience I've had is here at the Division I level in Northern Colorado is working with an entire staff. And that's been huge growth for me. You're in junior college, you're in high school, and even at Chatham State, to where it's really you and your assistant. Now you're on an entire staff, and you're around guys like Coach Green and Coach Klope, and then obviously Coach Smiley, and just the knowledge that they have and the way they think about things differently, and is not something that I'd really had before, to be honest, because I jumped right into being a head coach. So I spent 18 years as a head coach, and so I'd never really been around other you know, minds that and so that's just been a huge blessing and to be on our entire staff and to see the relationships grow with Coach Green and to Coach Klope and with the pre-existing relationship with Steve is I think a lot of the continuity that Coach Green had mentioned earlier.
How rare is it to have, I mean, the core of this coaching staff, you guys have been together pretty much throughout the process here. I look around just at the teams we cover. I mean, Wyoming's coaching staff, obviously you talk about Sundance Wicks, that's a completely different staff now that Lender's gone. CSU's had, you know, a couple of changes since I've been doing the show. Pretty rare, I would say, to have this group together as long as it's been.
Yeah, I would say extremely rare in this profession. You know, I don't know. I think if you would have asked us when we started, like, hey, you know, 7-8 years down the road, you guys are all going to be working together. I don't think any of us would have guessed that, you know, and I think some of it just because we thought, you know, people leave for other opportunities. But I think there's a combination of a ton of reasons why, you know, and obviously we all have our different reasons of you know, staying, you know, here and together. But a lot of it is we just love, you know, working together. And then obviously working for Coach Smiley, and he's just as good as you're going to find in this profession in terms of somebody that you're going to work for. And that's hard to pass up, right? You know, and so there's just a lot of stuff that, you know, I think for each of us individually that, you know, you're working for and you have your own individual reasons. But I think collectively how well we work together, it's something that's really hard to kind of pass up for an unknown situation, at least coming, you know, from my perspective.
Do you guys obviously get, so you just said it, you get along really well. I mean, you're hanging out here at in the podcast studio. Obviously, you're not sick of each other yet, so that's got to be good.
Well, you know, big sky travel, you better like each other.
You better be good with each other. You're around each other a lot.
Yeah, I think to just piggyback on what Dorian said and to respond to your comment, I think there's a lot of the familiarity of just not only the friendships, but I think the trust of you know, it matters a lot to all of us. And just knowing that, you know, trusting that, you know, kind of like a foxhole, so to speak, of knowing that, you know, Coach Green is going to be on top of his stuff and you know, same with Coach Klope. And I hope the same for me. I think the three of us really can depend on each other and we can trust each other and we can lean on each other and we don't have to worry about alternative motives and which I think exists more than people probably realize in Division I athletics. And so we've got that bond on the court, off the court. And I think a lot of it is just common ground of wanting to be successful, wanting to work with kids, wanting to win. And then ultimately just have built a trust amongst the three of us. And obviously the fourth one with Coach Smiley. And it all starts with Steve, you know, and the ability he gives us to still be ourselves. You know, he doesn't try to morph and change our personalities because our personalities are different.
Yeah.
But we've kind of found this sweet spot where we can kind of still be ourselves. And Coach Smiley allows us to do that. And we've just kind of built a relationship, you know, when it comes to the job and it comes from away from the job, I think that's pretty special.
How do you guys handle it when you're going at each other's throats? I mean, at some point, crap's got to hit the fan. You're sick of each other. You think it should go this way. Coach Smiley thinks it should go this way. There's had to be, I mean, this is a competitive, we're talking about a competitive situation, a competitive sport. How do you handle it when the blow-ups happen? Well, I'm assuming they happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have disagreements, right? I think, but too, like all of us, we've grown up in locker rooms. We all played, you know, so I think part of competition is obviously you're kind of used to that, right? It's, you know, it would be abnormal if it was happening day to day, but every now and then, you know, a conflict or just a difference in opinion is going to arise, right? So I think part of it is like nothing is – you can't take things personal. And, you know, as Reed was saying, it's – you know, if you believe and trust the intent of where it's coming from somebody, we're all kind of wanting the same thing. So it's, you know, in the perspective of what's best for the group. And at the end of the day, Coach has 51% of the vote, so, like, it doesn't really matter what we think. To be honest, like, as an assistant, your job is to – you know, when Coach gives you or asks you a question or wants your opinion, you know, speak freely. Obviously, you know your boundaries and don't cross any lines, but speak freely and be yourself in terms of what you really think. And Coach may say yes, he may agree, may disagree or whatever. But, you know, we don't really have too many of those situations. But when it happens, it's, I don't know, just another Tuesday.
You just get through it. Like, you just find a way to get through it,
man. Right.
And now, I've talked to Coach about this too. Like, part of having a good staff is also, like, with success, obviously is going to come different opportunities. And at some point, I'm sure, maybe it's already happened. You don't have to answer that on the podcast, but I'm sure there's been calls and there's been teams and programs that have reached out, sniffing around, even Coach Smiley, but you guys too, this coaching staff, I would imagine, and I don't think this is like top secret, but that's the ultimate. Is that the ultimate goal for both of you guys, is to be in that head coaching chair someday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I obviously would, you know, love that opportunity. That's the goal you're striving for. And so, yeah, I mean, I think one day that's the hope is, I don't know if anybody wants to be a lifelong assistant. You know, I think at some point everybody wants a crack to be a head coach. But I think, you know, timing is some of it, and things kind of, things happen for a reason, like all that cliche stuff. I think you just kind of got to believe in it. And at the end of the day, it's just trying to be as present as possible. You know, a lot of it, too, is we've won, what, like 60-plus games in the last, whatever, 3 years, right? We're on a pretty good run here, but, like, neither one of us have made one play, you know? Yeah. So, like, you know, I haven't made one basket at UNC in 8 years. And so a lot of your success is a byproduct of a lot of things, and a lot of it is your players. And so it's continuing to just be present and investing in those guys, and a lot of things have to go right for that to happen. So it's just yeah, that's the goal. But I don't know. I don't think about it that often.
And that's what's crazy is you guys have a great relationship, but maybe somewhere deep in the back of your mind, you are thinking about that ultimate goal of do you want to be a head coach if that opportunity comes up. But also, what I've learned from you guys and Coach Smiley, you love this area and you love, I don't want to say freedom at UNC, but it does feel kind of like a community effort around here sometimes. And I think at least what I've seen, that Darren Dunn, athletic director, kind of gives his coaching staffs like that freedom, you know, not freedom to fail, but it's not like if you fail, boom, you're done. There is freedom here. And obviously it's worked out with this program. But Coach, talk to me a little bit about, you know, your aspirations, not just with UNC, but overall.
Yeah, no, I think Dorian, you know, I just kind of echo kind of what he said. For me, I've spent, you know, I've had 18 years of sitting in the chair, and you know, my greatest growth has come from being an assistant and gaining these new perspective and growing and learning. And I'd be lying if I didn't say that in time I'd like to sit in that chair again. But at the same time, I've always believed, in talking to younger coaches that are trying to make moves in this profession, I just believe that staying present and doing the job that you have to the best quality that you can, and if you make that your primary focus, opportunities will come. And opportunities have came for probably both of us. But also, you know, you're in a situation to where you want to make sure it's the right fit, and it's the right time, and it's the right scenario. And I'm much like Dorian. I don't spend a lot of time, oh, well, you know, maybe if I go to this position, then it would lead to this position, then eventually I can be here. You know, I think it's a day-to-day focus for me of how can I do my job, my responsibility, how can I help our players, how can I fulfill my role the best that I possibly can, and then in due time, if it's the right thing for me individually, that opportunity will come appropriately. And so it's just, stay, like Dorian said, staying present and just trying to fulfill and do the best job, not only for our staff, but for our players as well, and just let it kind of go where it takes. So.
Well, and that's the thing, like, I'm always rooting for the Bears to win every single game. But I also know that if you win that last game, you win that Big Sky tournament, then that's when the phone calls really start. And I've talked to Coach about this too. Like, that's when we see coaches and coaching staffs get different jobs, whatever, move on. And there's just been a lot of success. But I'm glad so far anyway that you guys are, you know, sticking around and been here as long as you have.
Yeah, I think too. I mean, we're also 0-2 in those games, right? So we've got a little bit.
How much does that keep you guys up? Because over the years, you have been successful. Yeah. This has been, I mean, one of the bigger successes at UNC has been the men's basketball program. Just can't quite get over that hump to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's annoying, but I think too it's really hard to do. You know, when I was playing at Colorado State, you know, you have a they're two kind of completely different perspectives on how you approach a season, because you're in kind of a multi-bid league. And so you don't have to win the conference tournament to get in. Now, what that also does mean is that if you lose on November 11th, you might ruin your chances for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so you have to take care of business a little bit differently. For us, right, is the only way we're getting in, you know, I won't say the only way, but like 99% of the way we get in is that if you win that last game in Boise, there is no other route for us, right? So, you know, and if you come out and you have one bad game, you could be the best team in the league and have one bad game and you're done. So it's annoying, but I think also, too, just you also have to understand, like, I think the totality of what we've been able to do speaks, you know, a lot louder than two losses and you know, a conference tournament game. So I think consistency and being able to kind of do it, you know, year after year is what you chase more than anything. But yeah, it'd be nice to win one.
How frustrating is it though? Like, I've talked about this with your league. I've pitched this to Coach Smiley too. Like, I think there should be more emphasis on the regular season. The tournament's great and everything, but the regular season winner gets maybe something. And maybe if since we're increasing this, you know, March Madness teams getting in,
yeah.
I kind of like the idea of, can we add, okay, if you have a tournament winner that's different than the regular season winner. But it does kind of, you know, you could be undefeated in the regular season. You could win every single game, but you know, like Dorian said, like, if you have a bad game, the shots aren't hitting, maybe you have a key injury that happens. If you just have one bad game in the tournament, it's all over. Is it kind of frustrating for you to in the season, Coach, when you know, like, hey, we're really good, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we still have to do it when the tournament starts up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if frustrating is the right word. I look at it like this is, you know, and I think it started with Coach Lender. And obviously I think Steve is taking a big bulk of that on is every year when teams look at the Big Sky, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, eight, whatever it was, UNC wasn't even in the conversation. And in the totality, I think, of the success of Coach Smiley and our staff is that every year now, when you look at who has a chance to win the Big Sky, the Bears are part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it can be overclouded that we haven't gotten that, won that championship game yet. And so when I think about these things, it's I think about just the process. I was actually just telling somebody a day or two ago is in 6 years, I've seen the 5 seed win our tournament twice. And so I think it's just knowing that you just got to be your best at the right time. And I think Dory makes a great point of is your focus winning games or is your focus winning a championship? And obviously I don't know if that makes total sense, but I mean, it's the ability to play your best basketball at the right time for us to kind of win that last game. But just the fact, in my opinion, that we've been able to put ourselves in a position, to be a team that has a chance to win the regular season championship and then take that over into the conference tournament, I think is, really what's been achieved. It burns. It burns. It's something I think about on regulars, and then you get into the whole, well, if you're the first seed, you're the second seed, sixth seed, fifth. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to be able to put the games together at the end. And the Bears have been dang close. And I got a lot of confidence in the way that the program is going. That in due time, and hopefully. We'll be sitting here on a podcast in about 8 months talking about it.
That's the plan, right? You know, we love being able to follow this program, but obviously hoping, you know, for that Big Sky title. You got tons of new faces this year, and I know that's the name of the game that happens every single year, but it does feel like this year especially because you lost three of those key guys that were leaders for you guys, and Danker and Brock Wisney and Zach Block, gone. Replacing those guys is difficult. But that's why I think, like Coach talked about this, like the summer months, how important, how vital those are, especially for a team like this, this season, a lot of new faces, a lot of new guys. Yeah. You're hopeful that will step up as leaders.
Yeah, I think a little bit of new territory for us. I mean, we talked about staff continuity, but we've had a ton of just program continuity. You look back like really the last 3 years or so when we've had, we've lost major contributors, you know, starting with Dalton going to Tennessee, then St. Thomas going to USC, and then Langston going to, like, Minnesota. Like, we've had, and there's more guys in that mix, obviously, but, like, we've had guys that have left us, but we've always had guys kind of still here that have had some production and contributed to us the year before. This almost feels like the first year where we're not really returning any major production guys. We've had guys that have played. Egan, you know, started what half the season for us last year, but you know, he's has never been a full time starter, right? Brock is, you know, he's played behind Brock, who started basically for four straight years, right? So it's just a different role for Egan now that he's got to step into. And there's multiple guys like that. You know, Reek played a little bit as, you know, like our kind of ninth man last year, but he hasn't really had a huge role yet. Where, you know, we lose a Jaron Riley, but we had Zach Block, who was a starter. You know, Quinn was a starter at Idaho before he came to be a, you know, our sixth man. So we've just don't have that. We have talent. We have a good core. We've had guys. Half of our group has been with us. So I think, you know, some of those values and our culture and stuff has still remained intact. But we don't have a guy that said, hey, we know Brock was going to give us, you know, 14-8, you know, every night. We don't have that right now. So that's you know, a little bit of a different deal, but it's also kind of the fun thing, I think, for the first time is now is we're kind of having to try to figure out stuff from ground zero, right? So I think that's been the fun thing about the summer, you know, is just kind of trying to learn this group, these guys individually, right? The, you know, portal recruiting is so different. So, you know, you spend these 8 weeks, it's just kind of trying to get to know everybody and trying to kind of see, okay, you know, what's this version of Bears basketball going to be like for this next, you know, 9 months or whatever it may be, this next year, and kind of trying to figure it out on the fly. So this was like the most important summer we've had in a really long time.
Well, and I'm looking forward to, because Coach talked to us a little bit about a foreign trip coming up you guys are going to take. And some practices, some get-togethers here actually in August, late August, I believe.
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to set something up, if you guys will allow it, where we come out there. I do the show live out there, and we get to know all the players because we need to do it now more than ever is get to know these dudes. Yeah. So are you in? Are you, you signing off on that? Coach isn't here. It's fine.
Yeah.
We make that executive decision.
we'll get Coach Goss to get you guys on the list.
I think it's because as you guys rotate where you're going to be practicing to, and I think you're not going to be in the main gym. You're going to be what I was told anyway. So I'm going to have to find a secret spot to hide out in there, because that we don't want to be hearing you guys dropping the cusses, you know, the F-bombs a few times in practice. guys, take me through this. I love college basketball. I have so much respect for what you guys do. I have no clue what you guys do, though. You know, as far as I see you coaching, you know, and I see you guys building these relationships. I talk to the players and they speak highly of you. But as far as that recruiting process, how does that work? So take me through just, you don't even have to give me a player, just an example. Day one, how does that process start? Someone reaches out to you, says, hey, I got a guy. Or how are you finding these dudes? Coach, we'll start with you, Coach Reed.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. I think the formula that we've used is our recruiting is very relational. And regional and relational, I would think it would be the two words is, you know, we always want to recruit close to our home. And we've been able to recruit the state of Colorado and have success in doing that. And then with all of our backgrounds from Colorado, from Dorian's time at Colorado State and his notoriety, and then Coach Smiley and I just recruiting the state for 20 plus years for both of us. So it starts with, you know, identifying these kids when they're young. And you know, maybe you're going to watch Brock Wisney when he's a senior, but you see a kid that's a sophomore and on the opposing team and you go, hey, that kid's pretty good. Our team camp is a big deal of that too. We get all these kids in our own gym, in our own facility. But on the other side of, yes, it is relational to where, you know, maybe outside of our recruiting pockets of someone saying, hey, I've got a young guy that you need to watch. And then it's a matter of just getting your eyes on him. Something we do that I think has really worked for us is we get multiple eyes on him. So if Coach Green's got a contact that says, hey, here's a young man we got to really watch, and Coach Green, you know, vouches for him and says he's good, shows some film, and then it's Coach Smiley getting his eyes on him, then it's Coach Klopp getting his eyes on him, and then it's us collectively taking a look at a player to say, does he have the attributes and the characteristics that fit for being a Bear? And then for us is truthfully in the recruiting process for the Bears is we're slow. It's a methodical process. I just was having a conversation with a young man on the phone yesterday of like, hey, listen, man, for you to get this far where we're talking about bringing you on an official visit, 90% of the guys we recruit don't make it that far. For us, it's not a shotgun effect.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we'll go after a lot of different guys, and we'll do a lot of different vetting and a lot of conversations, and we'll watch kids a long time, and we'll get to know them. We'll get to know their families. We'll get to know their coaches. We'll get to know the whole picture. And it's just, can they make it to the next step? And they make it to the next step. And then for us, eventually, you've got a handful of guys that are left. And then from there, it's kind of, you know, trying to decide who we should offer and so forth. And I think a lot of what I'm speaking on is more of your traditional recruiting. Obviously, the portal recruiting is much faster in a much different way. But yeah, I think regionally is the first way. And then I think the relationships, and I think through the coaching experience that our staff has of you've got a lot of years of recruiting and coaching experiences and different coaches that have different connections and different relationships across the way. And so we're able to kind of bring a variety of guys up. And so I think it's done collectively. And our process is different than most, but it's a process for us that's really worked.
It's fascinating to me. Like, Coach Reed, you talked about it being like collective. You know, hey, this coach might get a whiff and looking at this guy, but then other coaches are taking a look, and so you all kind of come together. But at the same time, are there like specific guys where it's like you started recruiting that guy and then he ended up coming here? Is there a part of that pride where it's like that was my guy? Like I kind of discovered that dude. Is there a part of that happens in this sport?
I mean, there is, but there isn't. You know, you're always going to be a lead guy on a lead recruiter, right? So, you know, when it comes to a kid we're recruiting, somebody's going to take the lead on him. At the same point, though, it's everybody else's job on staff to have some sort of connection with the kid. And one of the things that we do, and Coach Smiley's huge on this, is like we don't put kids in a silo, meaning like just because Coach Reed is, you know, the lead recruiter on a kid, well, he might be in my position group or he might be in my academic group, to where he's not spending 99% of his time, you know, with Coach Reed. You know, even though he brought him in, he might spend more time with Coach Clope, right? So if you're having this mentality where you're just kind of trying to keep this kid in a silo, it's not going to work for us, right? And so it's something as an assistant coach, like, you have to get over. Because at the end of the day, it's about bringing in the best player for us. Because like I said earlier, like, we're not making plays on the basketball court. So like, you can bring in a kid, but if it's not the best fit for us, it's not going to put us in a chance to win, which is our ultimate goal, right? Is to try to, you know, win as many games as possible. And so, it has to be something as an assistant that you can get over. You have to get over, like, but yeah, you're going to take on some more responsibilities when you're the lead recruiter, right? And there's stuff like you have to get them into school and the admissions process. Like, that stuff's not very fun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That stuff we don't even talk about.
Like, yeah.
That portion.
And you're going to be the guy that they're going to lean on a little bit more. But I think it's your job and it's our job to kind of cross-pollinate those guys as much as possible, throughout the process, whether, you know, in Zoom stuff, right? So like, you know, if I'm not recruiting a kid, but he's in a, you know, Clope's position group or Coach Reed's position group, he's going to be on the Zoom. And so, you know, that's a time for like Coach Reed to really reach out and communicate to that kid, because I'm the one that's been talking to him the most here. He needs to hear from another guy, like, you're going to spend more time with him, like, get a feel for him. So I think you have to be, you know, really diligent and intentional with making sure that it doesn't get too, you know, my guy stuff, because usually that stuff doesn't work.
You guys are passing all the tests, actually, by the way.
If I can, there's two things I want to add on to the conversation. Yeah. I think are important. Yeah. Is I think the other part of it is we have a head coach that recruits.
Yeah.
And a lot of staff, like some coaches that have been doing this a long time, they don't touch it. We have a head coach that is active, that's recruiting, that's making calls, that's putting a foot forward, and he is present during that process, and that helps immensely. And then I just, you know, I think the recruiting process that Dorian's talking about, I think it goes back to our staff continuity, that one reason why I think we do get along, and I think one reason why we are on common ground, is this process really eliminates the my guy philosophy, to where, no, there is not a guy that comes into UNC that is Dorian's guy, that's Houston's guy, that's Clope's guy. They're always our guy. And I think that begins from the process of recruiting, like Dorian was talking about with the Zooms and the recruiting. And he's absolutely right. Dorian could find a big and he recruits them all, but that guy's going to spend all his days with me. And so us all working collectively, regardless of who finds or targets the talent, I think that's a big part of what we do, which I think leads not only our staff continuity, which I think later leads to our player chemistry as well.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but
I thought that was important insight that has been a big part of not only our staff success, but our program success.
I think it's fascinating just kind of listen to you guys go through that. And then, like I said, jokingly, you guys are passing all the tests. I'm asking if you want to be a head coach, you know, if you got your guys. No, you guys have... You know, Coach, I've got the list of questions here that Coach Smiley gave me, and you guys have passed every single one of them today. So well done.
So after the podcast's over, do you have like the private question list that you're going
to
ask?
The real questions, the real stuff that I wanted to ask. No, I love it. I appreciate you guys doing this. Dorian, I have another one for you, and I know we're about to wrap up here, but I think it's been a fun little mini rivalry between your old friends in Fort Collins, CSU, UNC. I've asked before. I don't know why we don't have that yearly. I think we should have that yearly. How weird is that for you in these games, especially because they've all been really interesting games.
Yeah. Personally, I hate them.
Really? Yeah. It's all the old love is gone.
Well, I actually hate the games. Obviously, I love Colorado State.
Oh, okay. All right. You love Colorado State. I didn't know if it was just like, you know what? I finally put that away.
No. Those games are miserable for me personally. And I've had the scout on them too, which, like, it's cool, but it's not. I don't know. It's just hard. I think it's anytime. It's just awkward, to be honest, like more than anything, you know. And it's some, you know, obviously Colorado State's something, a place that's really near and dear to me. And just it was life changing for me, right? And like, so, you know, if I didn't have that opportunity, I wouldn't have, you know, had the opportunity to come back here and be where I'm at today. So I owe a lot to that place and obviously the people that were there. And going in there and like sitting on the other bench and like in the other like locker room and, it's just, I don't know.
It's weird. It's got to
really
be weird. Is it one that it's extra motivating to beat them? Or like you say, you hate them, you really just don't even want to mess with them.
I just would rather not play the game.
You just rather not have it.
Yeah, because like it's not like this emotional thing where like I don't like them or this or that. It's just, you know, obviously competitively, like it's like playing your brother. Like you're never going to let your brother win or like, you know, and so obviously you're going to want to win as a competitor. And when we did beat them, that was great, you know, but.
Yeah.
It was one game in 32, you know, and so I think the hard part of it too is like, you know, being in a coach's perspective, you know, on it is like it just made the game like a little bit more about stuff other than basketball. It's like because I played there, and at the end of the day, I'm not playing. It's, you know, our group against their group, so like it just kind of brings in a lot of like other stuff to the game that's just really not important, and so you're just kind of having to deal with that and. So it's just a lot to it. Now, I wish we still played the game. I think it's great for both programs. I think it's
great,
obviously
for
great for the
too.
Area.
Yeah.
I wish we were playing those guys. I wish we had CU. I wish we had DU. Like, it just, our schedule this year didn't work out that way. And so hopefully in the future we can, you know, kind of get those games going. But that game in particular, like, when I saw that on the schedule, like, I always hated it.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and it's
interesting.
It's a weird feeling. You know, just having to kind of be a part of that, especially some place like that. You know, I went there and I was there for all 4 years, my entire career. So it's just, you know, a place that is really special to me. So, having to be like on the other sideline and, you know. I don't know.
As a radio host, I absolutely love it. Like that's I'm like, why don't we have this game happen all the time? And I've asked, you know, off air, on air, whatever, both sides and, you know, whatever. But it'd be fun if it was happening yearly.
I think some of it too is, you know, you look at like the bigger picture and scheduling right now is a mess. You know, if you're just talking about college basketball, like you know, you've heard multiple guys in the tournament last year, you know, you're talking about, you know, Flynn at High Point, who he started his career at Colorado State too. When I went on my visit, Flynn Clayman, at High
no
Point.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
When I took my visit to CSU, he was on the team still. He was transferring at the end of the year.
Wow.
So known him for a while, but like he said too, like you can't get games. You saw Coach at Miami, Ohio, right? Like, and part of it's with the net and the metrics and stuff like that. Obviously, that's impacted our game with CU. Just metrically, analytically, like the numbers, it's just kind of goofy. It makes no sense. And so we don't, you know, sometimes it's kind of, you know, a byproduct of the success you've had where it's always going to be harder to schedule. But nowadays with how things are with some of the numbers in the net, it's even more of a challenge kind of where we're laying at numbers wise. So that's honestly the bigger part of it more than anything. And then us adding, you know, a couple more conference games this year, it trimmed out our non-con. So I don't know, hopefully in the future.
I would like to even see, you know, with your old friend Sundance, I'd like to, and I know you guys do the, Can we the secret scrimmage? That's the exhibition. So it's not secret scrimmage. Okay, because I always get I just shut up about it because I'm like I know you're playing, but I can't talk about one of them. But I want to do, and I know Coach Smiley's kind of mixed on that too, because I wanted it back when Linder was playing with Wyoming, and Linder wasn't didn't really seem like he wanted to do that, you know, as far as a regular season.
Yeah, not to interrupt Reed, but like I think the Linder deal was like very similar to like me being at CSU.
He hated it,
and like him having to come back here, and then obviously you have some crossover with players that you had coached here before, and guys you'd worked with. It's just like it's just a weird kind of deal that if you can avoid it, it's.
So everything that I'm wanting is like you guys are like, no, we don't play our friends, man. We don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, just even it reminds me of just a little bit of awkwardness for me even when we played Texas Tech.
Yeah,
and you got Jeff Linder down there running the offense, and I was never on staff with Jeff. But then, you know, Jeff's and Steve, obviously, relationship was extremely close. And Steve learned a lot under Jeff from an offensive standpoint. And then being on scout for that for those games, and, you know, you're trying to pick apart what Jeff Linder's running, but you can't go as a scout coach to tell Coach Smiley what Jeff Linder's running because he knows exactly what Jeff Linder's running. And, you know, then you're in the game and you're seeing 43 DD on the board and you know exactly what's coming and Jeff has an answer. And so it's just, yeah, I think, you know, it's, I agree with Dorian is when those things kind of cross over, there's some awkwardness, but deep down inside, let's just be honest, you know, and when we go play Wyoming, there's, you know, in this exhibition, it's an exhibition, but I know Steve wants to win that, and I know Sonny wants to win that, and I know I want us to win that as well. But at the end of the day, it's it kind of clouds what the objective is of coaching a basketball team.
Yeah, well, it's I've always pushed for like this tournament, like this round robin type tournament locally up here.
So let's do it at the Coors Event Center.
Let's do it, man.
Play two games in one day.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, or even like, you know, using it for like the exhibition stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and just making it open to the public. I think those are all like things that we've kind of started to explore a little bit. You know, there's ways we can do it. For sure.
Yeah. I think it'd be so much fun. Guys, this was great. You're both fantastic on this thing. What do you think? Three-man game podcast?
Smiley Allen? I'm really impressed with just your juice in the morning. I mean, you're up. You're ready.
Well,
you look good. The beard is trimmed up nicely.
Beard's trimmed up. The Rockies got us to 30. So.
You got a shirt on. You can tell you've been working out.
Yeah.
I'm just being here and seeing you active live in person has exceeded my expectations personally.
I do have to say the podcast, I love doing it. And you think this is early. Coach Lamb, we have to do it 7 in the morning tomorrow. So, and he's usually here at, unless he forgets. Sometimes I'll text him at 7:15 and he's like, oh, my bad, I'm out this week. I'm like, yeah, I'm here anyway. I just live here apparently. But I do appreciate, you know, with the head coaches, but with you guys as a staff too, the willingness. I mean, anytime we reach out to have you guys on, I know you've been on with Coach Bruce Dick. You have a relationship with him. He's followed your son in his career. So I just appreciate the openness and the willingness to do this too. So thank you guys.
Yeah, man, anytime.
Yeah, you do a lot for us and just for the Northern Colorado athletics and sports And credit goes a lot to you, your willingness to have us on and to work with our players and work with our program. And you're a name that passes among our office with a lot of respect. And so we just appreciate you supporting the Bears and having us on.
Well, I love it. And again, I love kind of covering all of it. It's fun for me. And when I found out your friend Sundance Wicks is going to be in Wyoming, I'm like, all right, we got to start talking a little more Wyoming. Yeah. We keep trying to get him to come down here and do a podcast with Coach Smiley and a two-man game.
I don't even think I would.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't even think I would ask a question. I think I would just say good morning, and then the two of them would just go, and I could just sit back here and watch.
You know what would be fun, though, is to kind of hear some, like, the old stories, right? You know?
Oh, yes.
I mean, the ones that you can't tell on air.
Well, you know.
But just like, you know, obviously, like, going back and those guys playing together. And
I think it'd be
Coach
fantastic.
Meyer and just, you know. All that kind of stuff would be, there's a lot of great stuff.
I always say that Sundance kind of reminds me of Steve Smiley, but with like 18 cups of coffee just packed into him, you know, like maybe. In one shot. Maybe.
I think, you know, the whole quote of being one of one. Yeah. I mean, I think Sundance Wicks is the epitome of what one is one. So trying to say anybody is like Sonny. I will say this now that the Sundance topic has come up. Is like a lot of people that don't know him and see him from the outside, they go, is that real? is that really who he is? Is this a show? And I can tell you 100% he's 100% genuine. And who he is who he is. And it's not – and he's a unique individual, and he's very good at what he does, and he's very passionate about, you know, his journey. And so he is the epitome of one of one. They should put that – I'm going to text study. Put that on your tombstone.
I'm going to tag him on this. We talked about
or
you on this.
One of none.
Yeah,
who knows?
He's fun to talk to. We've had him on the whole show a few times, and I mean, he packs a punch,
guy.
Man.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's, you know, that's a tough job, man. I think he's perfect for that. I think they're going to have a good year, like, in the direction that they're going, and is, hate to say it, but they're doing a good job.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We weren't following Linder up there. Now you'd be rooting for Sundance. Guys, I appreciate this. And we got to do this again. You know, Coach Smiley's fantastic on these, but once in a while, it's nice to have that change. But also, you guys are always welcome on the regular program, on the whole show as well.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Anytime.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck this upcoming season. Hopefully, we'll be out there soon broadcasting live from a practice. Yeah. Get to know some of these players.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right, fellas. We'll talk to you soon.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!